Hebrews chapter 11. We'll begin reading in verse number 1 and then read down through verse number 6. Listen for the word faith. Think about what the Bible says to us and tells us about this amazing word. Hebrews 11 verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him, for before his translation he had the testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us this opportunity, Lord. Thank you for the reading of the scriptures and for all of us to be able to listen to what the Bible says. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to preach the Bible. I would pray, Lord, that there would be a hush fall over the auditorium, that our hearts would now focus on the preaching. Open our hearts, Lord, open our eyes, that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And Lord, I pray for that one that may be without Christ, maybe a Christian that's a bit discouraged, Lord, and then they need their faith built some this morning. I pray for that one that's maybe being challenged in some areas of their life. Help them to understand what it means to live by faith. And we ask, Lord, your presence, please. In Jesus' name, amen, and you may be seated. I love to preach on the subject of faith. On the subject of faith, we're going to spend some time defining that word today, and then we're going to encourage you as Christians, or if you're here without Jesus Christ as your Savior, we're going to encourage you to what to do with the faith that God has given you. I want to start by saying this. When God created mankind, he gifted us with a free will. I'm going to talk about two things that God gifted mankind with when he created him. Number one, he gifted him with a free will. That means that every single one of us get to choose. Well, God doesn't come down and make us do things. He wants us to choose to do the right thing. I said this to my young adult class, but I said, folks, I don't know if you have watched in the last 5 years, different preachers have different styles, and I'm not throwing rocks at anybody, different administrations, the same spirit, but let me say this. I just believe this. My job as a preacher is to stand up and to preach the word, to be instant in season, out of season, to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. I believe that's my job, and I believe it's the Holy Spirit of God's job to come into your life and for you to wrestle with him over things in your life. Listen, if I have to come make you do something, you're not going to keep doing it very long. If I browbeat you into do something, you won't do it very long. The honest truth is, that's not my job. My job is to challenge you with the scriptures and allow the Holy Spirit an opportunity to come and work with the word of God in your life to convince you that there are some things that you ought to do as a Christian, or if you're lost, to encourage you and challenge you in this matter of receiving Christ as your Savior. You know why I do that? Because God has gifted us with a free will. Every man will choose. He'll choose before he's saved whether to be saved or whether not to be saved. He'll choose after he's saved whether or not to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord or whether or not to do that. God has given us a free will. God also, when he created mankind, put within us the ability to place our faith in something. God has given us faith. It's part of the creation process. Because we are free-willed people who have the capacity of faith, each one of us must choose in what or in whom we will place our faith. You know, lost people have faith. Before you were saved, you had faith. Your faith was in something. You were able and willing to exercise your faith in something. There's a lot of folks that have faith placed somewhere, but maybe they do not have it placed in the God of the Bible and the Savior of the Bible. Some place their faith in science. they have the attitude, and I'm going to talk about this, but they have the attitude, if it can't be proven scientifically, then I'm not going to believe it. And they don't really understand that much of what is called science is not science, and even much of what is called science requires more faith than the Word of God. Some place their faith in themselves. Well, I don't have my faith in anything, preacher. Well, if you say that you don't have your faith in anything, then what you're saying is you have your faith in you. You're saying, I don't need anybody, I don't need God, I don't need somebody else, and people have disappointed me, so I'm just going to only have faith in me. So you have placed yourself as your God. Some place their faith in a religion. And let me say this, folks, there's thousands upon thousands of religions in the world, and there's many people that have placed their faith in a religion or a set of beliefs or some catechism, a list of teachings, and they have sold themselves to it. They put their faith in that, maybe in doing certain things, that's going to get them this reward on earth, or doing certain things will get them eternal bliss in heaven. Some place their faith in a religion. Some place their faith in some other man. And boy, let me say this, that's dangerous. I've never asked the people from Blessed Hope Baptist Church to put their faith in Jerry Ross. Pastor Ross never built his church asking you to put your faith in him. We've always pointed you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your faith in God. Some place their faith in nothing, they say. Well, I just have lost all faith. And I'm not sure that that's totally true, but some feel that way in their life. But let me say this. You have been given by the Creator a free will. You've been given by the Creator the capacity of faith. But everyone exercises their faith in something. And I want to talk to you about faith this morning. And I want to give you a definition of faith, because it's important that we know what we're talking about here. What is faith, preacher? What is faith? Somebody said to me the other day, keep the faith. Well, I don't even know what they want me to keep. What is faith, preacher? Let me say this first of all. Faith is not a feeling. Faith is not a feeling. It's not a tingling. It's not an emotional upheaval. Sometimes people get stirred, and I'm glad that they get stirred, and they get stirred emotionally, and that's not always bad, as long as the emotions are spiritual emotions. But they think that feeling, that emotion, is faith. Faith is not a feeling. Faith is not just believing. It's not just believing. Faith is not dormant. It's not motionless. It's not neutral. Well, preacher, what is faith? Let me give you some statements about faith. Faith is believing something that cannot be proved and believing it enough to act upon it. Let me say that again. Faith is believing something that cannot be proved and believing it enough to act upon it. Faith is believing something that cannot be seen and believing it enough to obey it. Faith is believing something that cannot be comprehended and believing it enough to give your life to it. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 tells us that faith is the substance. Isn't that interesting? I mean, this is substance. This floor is substance. That pew is substance. That flower pot up there is a substance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So faith is very real. The evidence of things not seen. Evidence is what you would bring into a courtroom if you wanted to prove something. Prove someone either innocent or prove someone guilty. Faith is as solid as evidence, convicting evidence. It's referred to as a substance. So it's very real in our life. It's not just some tingly feeling in our life. Everyone here has faith, been given that capacity for faith. It's what you choose to put your faith in this morning that I want to challenge you about. Let me say this. Faith is important in our life. We need to learn to exercise our faith. We need to learn to point our faith in the right direction and place our faith in the right person if we have any hope of eternal life. Let me just give you some statements here that maybe will reinforce to you how important faith is. Let me say this first of all. It is impossible to believe in God the Creator without exercising your faith. It is impossible to believe in God the Creator without exercising your faith. Now, verse number 3 of Hebrews chapter 11 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. What that is saying is that if you're going to believe in a Creator, and you're going to believe that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You will have to exercise your faith in order to believe that. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. You see, Genesis 1:1 teaches us that God created the heavens and the earth. Did you get that? God created the heavens and the earth. You say, preacher, prove it. I cannot prove it. Well, preacher, I want to see some evidence. Well, the honest truth is, my Bible says that the only way that you're going to truly believe that is to exercise your faith. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the words of God. And then it goes on to say, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Well, I need scientific evidence. I want proof. Well, there's no proof because this is how it happened. There was nothing. God spoke and there was something. And then God spoke again and there was something else. And then God spoke again and there was something else. And God spent about 6 days speaking. And when he got done speaking, the world and the universe as we now see it, for the most part, existed. And on the seventh day, God rested. And you say, preacher, please, please, come on. You're not going to tell me in this enlightened age that you really believe in a six-day creation, a six-day creation where God spoke and things just appeared. Yes, I believe that. 100% I believe that. So I don't understand how you can believe that. It's by faith. By faith. That's how I believe it. How did he do it? I don't know. Well, if you don't know, then why do you believe it? By faith I believe it. You say, preacher, there's people that have other theories. Yes, they do. And they also have a reason or reasons for coming up with these theories. I read an interesting article, and I won't read a lot of this because I don't want to lose you as an audience, but it's absolutely fascinating. Kind of on purpose, listen for the next few minutes. In February of 2009, Mary Lou Berry wrote this article entitled, Why Academics Embrace Evolution. Why Academics Embrace Evolution. Let me just read a little bit to you. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Psalm 14 tells us, why then do so many educators make atheism and its cousin naturalistic evolution their creed to the point of depicting the rest of us as fools and simpletons? Why do the elite who pride themselves on the power of critical thinking buy so uncritically into what has been called a fairy tale for grown-ups? Amazingly, some have been quite willing to answer this question. Now get this, folks. This is not statements by saved people about evolution and why they believe in evolution. This is statements by people who are unsaved and who are evolutionists telling you why they have chosen to believe something that they know for the most part cannot be proven scientifically. And just the opposite is true. Science has proved it to be, as it's already been mentioned here, a fairy tale for grown-ups. Young people, look up here and please listen to me, because you're not going to hear this in your classroom. There has never been a theory presented to science that's more unscientific than evolution. Well, Brother Jerry, if it's unscientific, if it doesn't make any sense, and if it doesn't hold up to the test of science, then why do people, academics, intelligent people, choose to believe it? Well, they're going to tell you why. I didn't say I was going to tell you why. I said they're going to tell you why this morning. The late Gordon Rattray Taylor, British author, broadcaster, and former chief science advisor to the BBC television, said this: why do I believe in evolution? Why do we believe in evolution? Because they fear that we shall revert to believing in a divine plan if we do not believe in evolution. How about Dr. Michael Walker, who said this: only because it supposedly excludes a creator, that's why we believe in evolution. How about the late D.M.S. Watson, chair of evolution of the University of London, who said this: not because, why do we believe in evolution? Not because it can be proved by logically coherent evidence to be true, but because the only alternative, special creation, is clearly incredible. So they don't want to believe in creation. They don't believe in evolution because it makes any sense, but if we didn't believe in that, we'd have to believe in creation. How about Sir Arthur Keith, physical anthropologist and head of the anatomy department of London Hospital? He said this: evolution is unproved and improvable. We believe it because the only alternative is special creation, which is unthinkable. Unthinkable. Folks, this is what they said. How about Richard Lutton, former professor of genetics at Harvard University, who said, materialism is an absolute, for we cannot allow a divine foot in the door. No one puts it more plainly than Dr. George Wald, Nobel Prize winner and professor emeritus of biology at Harvard University. He said this, and I quote, I do not want to believe in God. Therefore, I choose to believe in that which I know is scientifically impossible, spontaneous generation arising to evolution. Sir Julian Huxley, the late president and grandson of Darwin's College, he put an even finer point on this. All right, boy, you ought to listen to this. I suppose the reason we leaped at the origin of species was because the idea of God interfered with our lifestyle. We objected to the morality because it interfered with our sexual freedom. About Thomas Nagel, New York University philosophy professor that said this, I want atheism to be true and am made uneasy by the fact that some of the most intelligent and well-informed people I know are religious believers. It isn't just that I don't believe in God and naturally hope that I'm right in my belief. It's that I hope there is not a God. I don't want there to be a God. I don't want the universe to be like that. Well, guess what? Too bad there is a God. There is a God. How ironic that Charles Darwin, after a lifetime of turning the scientific world on its head, began in latter years to question his own conclusions. Let me read this. Darwin wrote this in a letter to his friend and colleague, Charles Lindell. He wrote this, often a cold shudder has run through me, and I have asked myself whether I may have not devoted my life to a fantasy. To a fantasy. Now listen to me, what I'm saying is what they said. The honest truth is, the reason that they have chosen not to believe in the creator of the Bible is because they don't want to live by the Bible. They don't want there to be a God. They don't want anybody telling them this is right and this is wrong and you must live this way. And so what they have chosen to do is they've chosen unbelief. They decided, I'm going to take this faith and this free will that God has given me, and I'm going to, with my free will, place my faith in evolution because I do not want to put my faith in Almighty God, in Almighty God. Now, let me say this. It is impossible to believe in the God, in God the Creator without exercising your faith. Listen, young people, you get in a science class and somebody says, well, prove that there's a God. You know what? Your answer to that's a very simple one. God never asked me to prove that he's a God. He simply asked me to put faith in him without seeing him, without having proof of him. You say, they'll say, well, why do you believe in God? Because I choose to believe in God. I choose to believe in God. You say, well, preacher, that's just not going to sound very scientific. Folks, my Bible says through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. We're not supposed to sound scientific. I don't care to try to sound scientific. Faith is not scientific. Faith simply will say, well, I believe in the Big Bang Theory. Well, were you there? Did you see it? Did you light the firecracker that caused it? You weren't there. So you put your faith in something because you were not there and you do not have evidence that it happened. So you have chosen to place your faith in unbelief. You've chosen to put your faith in something other than the Word of God. Now, wait a minute. Why are you throwing rocks at me? Prove there's a creation. Well, I'm not supposed to have to prove there's a creation. You see, folks, I just one day opened the Bible up to Genesis chapter 1. Well, I can help you here, right here. I can help you a lot. And read, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You know what? I believe that. I believe it. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. You know what? I have chosen now to believe that light came from God and God spoke and there was light. I believe that. Amen. I believe it. And God saw the light that it was good. I believe that. And God divided the light from the dark. I believe that. And God called the night a day. I believe that. And the darkness he called, I believe that. And the evening and the morning were the first. I believe that. First day, one day, he created the heavens and the earth. He created light, separated it from the darkness, called the light day. That's a pretty good day's work, by the way. That's a pretty good day's work. You say, well, that's not very scientific. I'm not trying to be scientific. Well, I just don't know if that argument's. I'm not arguing it. I'm believing it. Well, take me to the laboratory. I'm not interested in the laboratory. Come to the church. Open the Bible. Read it. Choose. Either look at it and say, I believe, or look at it and say, I don't believe. But that's exactly the situation God's put you in. He's put you in a situation, every one of us, where you have to choose. You have to choose. And by the way, it'd be good for you just to go ahead and get out of Genesis chapter 1 and 2 and just keep reading the Bible, and every statement just say, I believe it. 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 Just go ahead and exercise your faith. Exercise your faith. Because it's impossible to believe in God the Creator without exercising your faith. Now let me give you another thought here. Why is faith so important? It's impossible to believe in Jesus Christ for salvation without exercising your faith. It's impossible to be saved except by faith. Does the Bible support this? Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith. And not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I love Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no man be justified. Now, the honest truth is, if you're going to be saved, there is no way that you can be saved except by exercising your faith, placing your faith in Jesus Christ. You see, if you came here today and said, preacher, let me hear the gospel, let me hear what I must do or must believe in order to have eternal life, I would start out by saying, first of all, you need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, is God the Son. You say, well, preacher, prove that to me. I'm not going to prove it to you. I'm not going to try to prove it to you. I'll open the Bible. I'll read that the Bible states that he is the creator of the universe, that he is God the Son, that he is the Son of God. I will teach you, if you want me to go into depth about it, about the deity of Jesus Christ. But when it's said and done, I won't argue with you about it. I will not try to prove it. I'll say, this is what the Bible says. Believe it or don't believe it. Place your faith in that or place your faith in something else. But you get to choose. Hey, you got a free will. You get to choose. You say, well, I don't know about that. What else would I have to believe? Jesus came to earth to be the sinless substitute, the sinless sacrifice for us. You have to believe that Jesus was the Son of God and he came to earth and he lived a perfect life. You'd have to believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sin. Well, is there any documentation on that? Is there any eyewitness accounts? Well, surely there are. They're in the Bible, but you know what? As sure as I'll read the Bible and its accounts to you, there can be another man, an unbeliever, that'll come to you and want to argue and try to discredit every one of those accounts. Well, why doesn't the Bible provide more evidence? Because God does not want you to be saved by evidence. For by grace are you saved through evidence. It doesn't say that. God said, I've preserved the Bible. It's preserved perfectly. What is in it is accurate. You know what? Take it or leave it. Believe it or deny it. Put your faith in it or put your faith in something else. I've given you a free will. I've given you the capacity for faith. Exercise it. And everybody's going to exercise their faith in some manner when it comes to salvation. I'll tell you that Jesus was buried and rose again. Now, wait a minute, preacher. You're talking about somebody that died on a cross. You know what? I've heard skeptics say that he wasn't really dead when he was taken down. That the disciples got his body and then they went in and they must have got a defibrillator or something. And now, wait a minute. You know what? You're always going to hear the scoffers. Well, preacher, I want to fly to Israel and I want to look in the tomb. And sure enough, if I even financed the opportunity for you to do that, there'd be some skeptic standing by the tomb saying, you know what, this isn't even the tomb that Jesus was really laid. I mean, listen, when it comes right down to it, the Bible says that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried for 3 days, and rose again. And then the Bible says this, believe it or don't believe it. God says, I'm going to provide the information for you. I gave you a free will. I gave you the capacity for faith. You either put your faith in this for eternal life, or you'll put your faith in something else. And God says, you know what? It's up to you. But listen to me. Don't miss this. Eternity will be decided on where you place your faith. Forever will be decided on what you place your faith, you see. And then the Bible says, what I would tell you if you came to me is this. Jesus, Son of God. Jesus came to earth to be the sinless substitute sacrifice for us. Jesus died on the cross for your sin. Jesus was buried and rose again. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Notice this. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And God just says here in the scripture over and over and over again, listen, I'm just going to tell you what happened. I'm going to tell you why I sent my son. I'm going to tell you who he was and what he done for you. You know what, mankind? Believe it or don't believe it. Put your faith in it or don't put your faith in it. If you put your faith in it, you know what? You're saved. If you don't put your faith in it, you're eternally lost. How can a man believe these things, preacher? There's not enough proof. I want more proof. Prove the deity of Christ. I've never been asked to prove it. I've been asked to preach it. Prove the virgin birth. I've never been asked to prove it. I've been commanded to preach it. Prove his perfect life. I haven't been commanded to prove it. I've been commanded to preach it. Prove his death on Calvary. Prove his bodily resurrection. I've never been asked or commanded by God to prove anything. I've just been asked to stand up, lift up your voice like a trumpet, proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And you know what? That message puts you in a situation where you either choose by faith to believe that unto eternal life, or you turn around and walk away from it and say, I don't believe that. Preacher, the Bible says here to believe in your heart. Thou shalt believe in the heart, thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto right. What's the difference between head belief and heart belief? My dad used to give this illustration. I think it's still the best one. He said there was a man that erected a tightrope across Niagara Falls, and he jumped up on that tightrope and he walked back one way and walked back the other, and then he jumped down and he grabbed a wheelbarrow and he walked with the wheelbarrow being pushed in front of him on that tightrope all the way across and all the way back. And there's a group of people that had gathered there, and he said when he jumped down, how many of you think that I can walk across Niagara Falls pushing a wheelbarrow and come back pushing a wheelbarrow? And they all raised their hand. He said, how many of you really believe it? Who wants to get in the wheelbarrow? And all of a sudden, all those hands kind of went like this. I hear this a lot. It's crazy. The humanism and the effectiveness of humanism. I mean, I'm literally at the door, knocking on doors and hearing people use phrases like, well, I believe in a higher power. I believe in a higher. I said, do you believe in God? I believe in a higher power. A what? You know, I went home, thought maybe I'm missing something. I got my concordance out. Searched for higher power. It's not in the Bible. Not in the Bible. Oh, you believe in a what? Everybody's got this little, you know, kind of belief. All this kind of logical, yeah, I kind of, wait a minute. Have you believed in Jesus Christ unto salvation? Do you realize that you're a sinner? Do you realize that you're on your way to hell? Have you come under conviction of your sin? And have you been presented the gospel, which is Christ is the Son of God, God the Son? He lived a perfect life. When he died on the cross, he didn't die for his sins because he was perfect. He died for our sins, was buried, and rose the third day, having defeated death, having defeated sin, and now he offers to everyone the gift of eternal life. And if you'll simply turn from your sins to Jesus Christ and accept him as Savior and put your faith in him and him alone for your eternity. Have you ever done that? That's a lot different than, I believe in a higher power. You see, if you're going to get saved, you're going to have to exercise your faith. But when it boils right down to it, you have a free will. It's your choice. John 3, 35 and 36, for the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth, get this, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. See, God said this, I'm going to make you a certain way. Now, listen to me, young people, you better get this. You're not made any different than anybody else in here in this regard. God made you. When he made you, he gave you a free will. You get to choose. You get to choose. You get to make choices in this life. Then he gave you the capacity for faith. And you get to take the faith and you get to place it in something. Now, God comes to you with the word of God and say, listen, if you want to be saved, then you need to believe. You need to put your faith in Jesus Christ and his finished work on Calvary's cross. You need to believe the Bible. You need to believe the plan of salvation found in the Bible. If you put your heart belief in that, you'll be saved. If you put your heart belief in anything else, you'll be lost for all eternity. That means you'll end up in a devil's hell forever. But you know what? You get to choose. Now, I can preach the truth to you, but you still have to choose. Grandma can get on her knees and weep buckets of tears over you, but you've got to choose. You've got to choose. Maybe some Christian friend will come and plead and get your hand and plead with you, but you still have to choose. Even in a few minutes when we give the invitation, the honest truth is all we invite you to do is come. All we invite you to do is to give somebody an opportunity to show the scriptures to you. You know what? And by the way, I know what new converts say, and it's okay that they say it this way, but every once in a while somebody will come to me and say, right, Brother Jerry, you remember me? You saved me in Vacation Bible School. Now, don't be too hard on them. You don't understand, they don't know how to say something sometimes, but the honest truth is, folks, we're just instruments. Only God can save. Only Christ can save. Somebody may take the Bible and preach it to you and encourage you to be saved, but Christ must save you. And somebody may take the Bible and kneel down beside you and show you how to be saved, but you know what? It's Christ that must save you, and you must exercise your free will and your capacity for faith and put it in the Son of God and his finished work on Calvary's cross. And when you do that, for by grace are you saved through faith. Through faith. Isn't faith important? Faith is important. Number one, it's impossible to believe in God the Creator without exercising your faith. It's impossible, number two, to believe in Jesus Christ for salvation without exercising your faith. Number three, it's impossible. Listen to me, Christians. We'll just preach to Christians for a couple minutes here. It's impossible to please God as a Christian without exercising your faith. It is impossible to please God as a Christian without exercising your faith. We read in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible, impossible, impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, once you've come to God, and once you've put your faith in God and in Christ's finished work for salvation, listen, you still need to exercise your faith. The Bible says you ought to take that faith and then begin to diligently seek him. You need to take that faith and believe with your faith. Believe that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let me say this, folks. I want to exercise my faith as a Christian in pursuit of God, in trying to walk with God, in understanding God, in studying his word. And I also want to place my faith in this truth. God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now let me say this, as a Christian, I believe some things. I believe that God rewards people who obey God after they are saved. I put my faith in that concept. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live. It's talking about the life that we live then as a Christian. I now live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Faith is not just to get you saved. Faith, it becomes a lifestyle for you as you are a Christian. And when you become a Christian, you don't just use faith and exercise faith for salvation. You then take the capacity that God's give you for faith and you begin to place that faith in the written word of God. Place that faith in God of the Bible, and you begin to follow him with all of your heart. Believe God. I want to read this verse, this one statement, is found three different times in the Bible. Let me read these three verses. Listen to them. Romans 1:17, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Galatians 3:11, "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith." Hebrews 10:38, "Now the just shall live by faith, and if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." Three different times in the New Testament, God says this to people who have been justified, people who are Christians. He said this, "The just shall live by faith." So there's saving faith, thank God for it, but there's also living faith. We won't preach on it today, but by the way, praise God, there's dying faith too, amen. But right now I'm in the process of living out my faith. I want to get up every single day and I want to live by faith. Live by faith. What's that mean? That means I believe some things that can't be proved and I believe it enough to act upon it. It means that I believe some things that cannot be seen and I believe in them enough to obey them. I believe in some things and in God Almighty that cannot be comprehended. I believe it enough to give my life in service to Him. I want you to begin to live your life by faith. Christians, preacher, I've just been newly saved. What do? You live by faith. What's that mean? You read the Bible, and if the Bible says it, you believe it. If the Bible commands it, you do it. And you don't have to always understand it. You don't always have to figure it out. You don't always have to have it proved to you. You just say, if God says it, I'm going to do it. After I got saved, a preacher got up and preached in the Bible and used the scriptures and said, let me show you what the Bible says about baptism. And I heard what the preacher said and I seen what the Bible said in the Bible. And you know what I did? I just said, I'm going to get baptized. I didn't say, well, I don't know, I want to do a one-year Bible study on it. I didn't understand all the implications of it. I didn't understand everything about it. I understand the basics of it. I understood the Bible commanded me to do it. And you know what? I just stepped out by faith and said, the Bible says this and I'm going to do it. Are you listening? That's called living by faith. Living by faith. After I got baptized, preacher says, let me show you the scriptures. You need to join a church. You need to be added unto the church. I read it in the Bible, heard it preached. I said, you know what? I'm going to join a church. I began to tithe. Why? I began to tithe by faith. I began to witness. Why did you witness? By faith. What is faith, preacher? Faith is believing something that you don't even maybe totally understand, but God tells you to do it, so you just start doing it. Whatever happened to living by faith? Got so many skeptics and critics in Christianity today, and everybody seems to be so jaded, and they just can't open the Bible and read it and just do what it said. Well, I think we need to examine that verse in the light of this and that. And by the time they get done, they become so critical of it and they've destroyed the essence of it, and all they're doing is using it as a cover up for their disobedience. Man, thank God for the simplicity of the Christian life. It's not that hard. Get up tomorrow morning, read the Bible. Whatever that Bible tells you to do, do it that day. You'll be living the life of faith. Well, I'm not sure I understand it. You don't have to understand it. Just do it. After I got saved, I got baptized by faith. I joined a church by faith. I began to tithe by faith. I began to witness. Why did you begin to witness? Because a preacher got up and turned to Luke chapter 16 and began to preach on a place called hell. And all of a sudden I realized that people who were lost without Jesus Christ were going there. And you know what? I didn't know a whole lot about how to witness, and I didn't know much more than my testimony. But thank God the church provided me some gospel tracts, and I began to pass them out and tell people they need to get saved. There's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain, and Christ loved them. Listen, you don't have to go through 5 years of Bible college to be a soul winner. In fact, most guys, people go through 5 years of Bible college, not many of them come out a soul winner. I'm sorry to say that. Not many of them come out. Why? I did it by faith. I didn't understand it all. Man, a live preacher got up and turned to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and started talking about the rapture of the church, and the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God shall sound. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. I'm sitting there thinking, man, alive, Jesus is going to come one of these days. Amen. Preacher in 1970 began to read all of the newspaper articles and everything that was happening, and I thought to myself, as a teenager, I'll never get married. Jesus is coming back, man. I might not even make it home tonight. And by the way, by faith, I still believe that. By faith, I still believe that. Why do we do these things? Why do we get baptized after we're saved? By faith. Why do we join the just shall live by faith? Why do we begin to tithe? Just shall live by faith. Why do we begin to witness? Just shall live by faith. Oh, I don't know if I understand all of it. You never will understand all of it. Just do what it says. I begin to clean up my life by faith. Are you listening to me? I begin to clean up my life by faith. Why? Because I heard verses like 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Wow. I guess God wants us to live holy. I think I'll just try to obey that by faith. How about Titus chapter 2? For the grace of God which bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Say, what'd you do, preacher? I said, well, the Bible says I'm supposed to deny ungodliness. I guess I'll just do that by faith. I'm supposed to deny worldly lust. I'll do it by faith. I'm supposed to live soberly. I'll just do it by faith. I'm supposed to live righteously and godly in this present world. Not give in to it, not participate in it, but to be apart from it, separate from it, different from it. I'm supposed to spend every day looking for that blessed hope, so I'm going to do it by faith. I'm supposed to look for the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, so I'm going to look every day by faith. I'm going to remember that he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. I'm going to believe that by faith. I'm going to ask him to purify himself in me. I'm going to do that by faith. Young people, listen to me. Everybody look up here and listen. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 and 18, still in the Bible. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Some of you are righteous. You're made righteous in the blood of Christ. The honest truth is, most of your fellowship this week was with unrighteousness. What communion hath light with darkness? Inside of you is the light of the world. But you know what? You spend most of your time hanging around in darkness. What concord hath Christ with Belial? I mean, listen, worship God. Worship Christ. Why in the world are you worshiping idols? What's going on? I mean, folks, it's not that complicated. It's a life of faith. God said, I'm not supposed to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. I'm not supposed to have fellowship with unrighteousness. I'm not supposed to have communion with darkness. I'm not supposed to have concord with Belial. I'm not supposed to have part with an infidel. I'm not supposed to have agreement with idols. The Bible says, that wherefore come out from among you and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. You will be a father unto me, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And you know what? There's no way in the world you can interpret those verses and use anything that's found in the Bible as an excuse to walk around with this flippant attitude of it doesn't matter and there's nothing wrong with this and there's nothing wrong with that and I'm going to live this way and I'm going to do this and I don't care what anybody says. I'm just going to... You know what? That's not in the Bible. 1 John chapter 2, I've written unto you fathers because you have known him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you young men because you are strong. The word of God abideth in you. You have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Blessed Hope Baptist Church, listen to me. Let me finish this up. We must remain a church that lives by faith. That lives by faith. There's much to do. There's much to accomplish. God so believed and so committed to this truth that he even had in the Bible these words penned, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Why do we witness? We witness by faith. Look right up here. Let me say thank you to a group of people that said, you know what? The preacher's worked out a plan. One man told me this. He said, you know what? Preacher, you've made this thing so easy for people to get involved in visitation that there's not a person, there's nobody that can have an excuse. You know what? That's the exact truth. There is nobody that has an excuse. If you can't do this, there's plan B. If you can't do this, there's plan C. If you can't, you know what? Some of you want to run all the way down to the end of the alphabet, but the honest truth is, after about B and C, it's excuses, not reasons. You know it. I know it. Forgive me for not sanctifying your excuses. The honest truth is, every single one of us ought to step out by faith. You know what? I believe the Bible.
I believe God, when he says go out into all the world and preach the gospel, I believe that I have an obligation. I believe that, as Paul wrote, that it's to our shame if they know not the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to be a part of this. I'm going to witness by faith. I'm going to work by faith. I'm going to give by faith. I'm just going to begin to live a life of faith, Hey, if you died right now, would you go to heaven? If you died right now, would you go to heaven? Has there ever been a time in your life when you've taken those two gifts that God gave you, a free will to choose and the capacity of faith, to put your faith in something? And have you ever exercised that free will by choosing Jesus Christ? And have you ever exercised that capacity for faith by placing your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ? Can you go back on the timeline of your life and find that place, that time when you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? I mean, you came under conviction of sin. You knew you were lost on your way to hell. You found out that Jesus was the Son of God. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross for your sin so you wouldn't have to spend an eternity in a devil's hell. And you know what? You, by faith, believed and trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior. If not, you ought to do that today. Been given a free will, exercise it. You've been given the capacity for faith, exercise it. I don't know where your faith is today. Maybe in yourself, maybe in a religion, maybe in some religious experience, maybe in some man. But the honest truth is, you ought to take that faith and you ought to place it in the finished work of Jesus Christ for salvation. Let's bow our head, close our eyes. Please just be still for a moment. No talking, no shuffling around. This is an important part, important time of our service. Preacher, I've been sitting here listening to you, and as you preached, the Spirit of God, God Himself, has been dealing with my heart. If I died right now, you asked me that, if I died right now, what would happen? I don't know. I fear what might happen. I have no assurance, no peace that I would go to heaven. I fear when I hear a preacher mention hell, because there's something inside of me that is telling me maybe that's where I would be. Preacher, what can you do for me today? Well, what we can do is this. We can offer you the opportunity to hear the gospel. We can offer you the opportunity to be saved. We can offer you the assistance provided by someone who is saved that would take the Bible and show you what salvation is and what it means. But at that point in time, we have to then let you make a decision. You can exercise your free will. You can exercise your capacity for faith. And you can place that faith in Jesus Christ today if you so wish. And let me say this, I would plead with you. I would plead with you to do it. Because God has made a way for us to go to heaven. But God does not want puppets. God is not going to make a man do anything. And he's simply going to make sure that you have an opportunity, as you have this morning, to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Now the ball's in your court. Are you saved? If you died right now, do you know for sure you go to heaven? Are you saved? Nobody's looking around. Our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Preacher, if I died right now, I'm not sure what would happen to me. I'm not saved. I feel that I'm not saved. I feel God working in my life. I need to be saved, but I'm not saved. By the way, I won't embarrass you. I won't call your name. I won't come back to you. In any way, I won't embarrass you, but I will pray for you. Preacher, I'm not saved. If I died right now, I'm fearful of what would happen. I'm not saved, but I need to be saved. Please pray for me, preacher. Would you raise your hand if that's you? Please pray for me. I'm not saved. Please pray for me. I'm not saved. Slip your hand up real quick. Nobody's looking around. I want to pray for you. Please pray for me. I'm not saved, and God's dealing with my heart this morning. Anyone here? I'm not saved, preacher. God's dealing with my heart. I see your hand. I see your hand. God bless you, young ladies. You can put your hands down. I see that hand. God bless you. Preacher, I'm not saved. Please pray for me. Say, I raised my hand, and God is working in my heart. What do I do? Well, in just a minute, we're going to stand to our feet. The piano player is going to begin to play. Our heads will be bowed. Our eyes will be closed. There'll be no embarrassment to you. But we have men that if you'll come up here, they'll get a lady to take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. If you're a young man, we'll have a man take the Bible and show you how to be saved. And then you'll have the opportunity to make that decision for Jesus Christ. Don't pass it up. As soon as we stand to our feet, not yet, but as soon as we do, I'll pray. The piano player will begin to play immediately. Just as soon as the piano begins to play, step to the nearest aisle, come right up here. Let us take the Bible and show you
how to be saved and give you that opportunity to be saved today. Oh God, please work in lives. Lord, may Christians be in prayer. God, we want the lost to exercise their faith. But we as Christians oft-times are so guilty of not living a life of faith, of not exercising that living faith. God, I pray that you would deal with our hearts also. May we just become old-fashioned, fundamental Baptist Christians again, who open the Bible, read it, point to it, and say, I believe that by faith. Read another verse. I believe that by faith. And Lord, I'm talking about the kind of faith that changes us, the kind of faith that changes our direction and changes our attitudes and changes our actions and draws us to live a holy life before you. Use, Lord, this invitation. I pray for these that raise their hand for salvation. Lord, they know they need to be saved. I promise that I pray for them. I am praying for them now. Give them the courage and boldness to do the right thing. We pray these things in Jesus' name.